Christ was one of those figures in my life early on. I can't quite tell you how, but you know, there were so many times that I was very close to being killed by cars or machinery or wherever I was, in perilous places, and I can remember all that kind of thing with, especially mission trips. You know, there was some pretty dangerous stuff going on there, but and it was one of those things where it was a very, very slow process with me. I knew about it. I was in church, and I remember there was a young lady by the name of Marilyn Whiteman who was, she was a gorgeous girl, but nevertheless, she was very, well, her father was the superintendent of the Methodist Church, so it was pretty easy to get tied in there. And I sang in a choir and all that type of stuff, and they wanted me in D Malay, and I didn't want, I was looking at the guys that were in D Malay and what they were doing, and I didn't want any part of it, because even though it was one of these Christian groups, why, nah, they were not my type. And being on a farm, you see life come and go, and you see things that which you kind of hope would survive, and they don't. And you deal with death, and you deal with life daily, and it's a matter of, you know, and even with the crops, if your crops don't get the right sun and rain, they die. So it's been a very slow process for me to do that. And eventually, and the mission trips was one of those things which sort of brought it home. And a lot of the times that I was working, I'd wonder, why are these guys praying? We're going to do the work. And it didn't really strike me until I guess one night I came out of working at the East 45th Street. I was coming out of the attic after working there all day long. It was really dirty and hard, and I looked down at the lights in the city of Cleveland, and I thought, "Oh Lord, this is why you want me here." I do remember that, and I don't know, maybe it's developed ever since then at the particular time. So, and more recently that I've been walking and talking to the Lord a lot in my morning walks, and I've come to realize how much I can't even get out of Genesis 1. There is so much information in Genesis 1. How the earth was made, how man was created, man and woman were created, and to realize that that was the last thing that God did. He prepared the whole universe. Prepared the whole universe so that he could create man and woman to commune with. And they did in the garden. They communed until they decided to play God. And God said, "No idols before me." Do you remember that? "No idols I shall have now. I'm a jealous God and do not have it more." And I go back to the Lord's prayers, "Our Father who art in heaven, and your will be done," and that type of thing. And finally it dawned on me that, you know, Genesis 2 was not just a bunch of malarkey. It was how God was going to redeem his people. How it was. how it came about, how it all came about, and pretty soon why God was talking to me about all these types of things. So I don't know. It's been a struggle, but lately it's been easy. So I think that's my communion with God, and I'm able to make peace with Christ and say, well, God, if you want me to endure this, whatever it is that I've got, and if you want to take me, that's okay too. So either way, it's okay. I don't care. By staying, I win. Stay with my family a little longer. And if you take me, I win. That way I can get there and start asking questions. love you, Lord. Amen.